that we have come with open hearts. I pray that would be true. I pray we would be open to your word, professed and proclaimed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, again, a joy to be with you, and especially just 1 week away from our annual synod, our annual time, our conference that we have every year, where I call it a family reunion. It's our family reunion for people to come from all over the diocese, and yes, we have to do some legislative business, but what we have more of is we enjoy worship, we enjoy ordaining new deacons, we enjoy hearing great missional teachers and preachers, and I'm really thankful for last weekend's synod. The bishop's always a little nervous. A lot of work goes into it. A lot of people put a lot of work into it, and you're not quite sure, are the people going to be blessed by it? Are the people going to be nurtured by it? Well, last weekend, I think in the first time in 12 years, at the end of the weekend on Saturday, when usually we have about a 25% attrition, you know, people who need to drive a distance or whatever, they leave a little bit early, and they leave. Last week we had no attrition, and at the end, even people who had 5 and 6 hour drives didn't want to leave. Now, at least for me, that's the sign that the Lord blessed it, the Holy Spirit blessed it. A lot of work obviously went into it, and I'm thankful for it. We also began last week a year of theme. I hope it's actually going to be more than a year, because what we've done these last many years is every year we have a different theme for the Synod, and then it carries out through the rest of the year. Well, this year's theme is back to the basics of Scripture. Back to the basics of Scripture. Now, for a congregation like COK, you say, yeah, of course. We believe in it. We believe in getting back to the basics of Scripture. Why would we have to focus on it? The last several years, the discipleship team for the diocese has been going around, and we've been doing various discipleship weekends, Holy Spirit weekends. We've done biblical life weekends. We've done biblical leadership weekends. We've done evangelism life weekends. And it's been well received throughout the diocese, and we get so many just encouraging words from both clergy and lay people saying, wow, we didn't know what we didn't know. We wish we had learned some of this a long time ago. We want to do this more regularly. We want to do it even in our own parish. Even if the discipleship team for the diocese doesn't come, we'll develop our own discipleship team, and we'll do it, because guess what? Take, for instance, the Holy Spirit. So many people have never had good, solid, biblical teaching on the Holy Spirit. And when you have good, solid, biblical teaching on the Holy Spirit, guess what? The Holy Spirit changes lives. And so some churches are saying, okay, then we'll have our own discipleship team, and we'll do a once-a-year deal where we have a Holy Spirit weekend. So I count the last several years of those efforts success. I also note that the last several years, as we've gone around, when folks are saying, wow, I didn't know that the Bible said this, or I didn't know about what biblical living is like, they would say, I believe in the Bible, but I didn't realize that I don't really know my Bible. And no dog to kick here. No dog to kick. The reality is that most Western Christians don't know their Bible. Not really. Not to the point where they can quote it at any moment when they're talking to somebody who might be seeking the Lord, and they can say, wow, well, you know, Paul says this. Or John, the Gospel of John says that. Most Western Christians are not what I call steeped in God's Word. They believe in it, and they go to it as a resource, which is good. Great. But truly know it. You know, our prayer book has a wonderful prayer that says that you are to read, mark, and inwardly digest the Word of God. Read. Many Christians read the Bible. Mark. Ooh. Some Christians are even afraid to. Oh, no, we're not supposed to write in the Bible. What do you mean you're not supposed to write in the Bible? You're supposed to write in there, write your thoughts, write your whatever you're thinking to God. Underline stuff, highlight stuff. But what does inwardly digest mean? To inwardly digest God's word into our lives. I would say that it's easier said than done. And I would say also, you know the old saying, if it goes without saying, it usually goes without doing. I know in my own life, I confessed to you all a few years ago, I confessed to you that during the pandemic, I was absolutely determined, I am going to get back into God's Word daily. And even during the pandemic, which you know, Trish and I looked at each other and we were having so much quality time with each other, so much quality time. And we looked at each other and said, you know, we married each other for life, not for lunch. But even with all that quality time we were having, I was saying, God, when am I going to find time to read my Bible? And I shared with you a couple of years ago that God said, as loud from heaven as I've ever heard, well, why don't you give up some of your British murder mysteries and perhaps you could have a little more time? I'm confessing again that I continue to struggle with making daily time. I have to get up at 5 in order to do it, to be honest with you, because once my day gets started. But that's me learning later in life. The joy, the power, the glory. Oh, I've had my seasons where I've gotten more devoted to it, but I've got to tell you the last few years of reading, marking, and inwardly digesting it every day has changed my life, changed my perspective, changed, you know, and you know when that happens to the leader, i.e. the bishop, guess what? He says, you know what, we're gonna have a year of back to the Bible and the basics, okay? Because God desires us to be in His Word. I want to take a little bit of His Word today to give you an example of how important this is. You all are a loving and accepting and encouraging congregation. If anything, that is shown in the beauty of your prayers of the people. I mean that. The beauty of the prayers of your people, where it's so, if don't let it become rote when you listen to those prayers, okay? Do we have them today, or is it part of the confirmation? Prayers of the people? No? Okay. Next Sunday, listen to your prayers of the people. We did it at 8, okay? They're just beautiful in the way that it speaks of this, the welcome and what this community is about. I just love them. But I want to read these words from Ezekiel that we already read today. In the 36th chapter. Interestingly enough, a section of the 36th chapter, which is entitled, I Will Put My Spirit Within You. Appropriate for Confirmation Sunday. This is what we read today. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit that I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. If I ask the question right now, how many of you believe this? You very dutifully would raise your hands. But I will say this, many of us believe it, but it's actually not operative in our lives. Do we really believe that God cleanses us from all uncleannesses? Not from some, not from a few, not from random ones, but all uncleannesses? No, I think a lot of Christians struggle with whether that's really true. No, we believe that Jesus came and died for us, and in fact, in dying for us, he forgave us of all of our sins, right? We believe that. Amen? But let me tell you what a lot of Christians, and to be honest with you, many newcomers who will walk through those doors struggle with. I've got a very crisp $100 bill here. Very crisp. Printed it just yesterday. This $100 bill is worth $100. Right? Now, I believe you all clean your floors regularly, so there's not a lot of dust, but there's some, enough of us walked in here today, there's some dust on this floor right here. So I'm going to rub that $100 bill around a little bit on the floor. It's getting a little dirty now. Getting really dirty now. So with a little bit of dirt and a little bit of dust on this, how much is this worth? $100. What if I crumple it up? What if I crumple it up like that? Can barely even recognize it. What is this worth? You see, those of you who have walked the walk for a while, and those of you who know the Lord Jesus, and those of you who know when Paul says today that if the Spirit of God is in you, if the Spirit of God, if you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have accepted him as not just your Savior, praise the Lord, but you've also accepted him as your Lord, your Savior, yes. You'll get to go to heaven. Praise God. But also, you've accepted him as your Lord. Do you know what the word Lord means? Master. He is your master. And where are you in letting God truly be your master? If you've gotten there, and also, if you've experienced the grace and mercy of God, down to the very core and marrow of your being, if you've experienced the grace and mercy of God, then you know that it doesn't matter how much dirt you get on you. You know that no matter how crinkled up and broken your life gets, God still looks at you as his child, as his beloved. He still looks at you. In fact, we believe, Paul says that you and I are in Christ. I want you to imagine this, okay? This is you. This is Christ. In your baptism and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are now in Christ. That means it doesn't matter what you do, God still sees Christ. He sees Christ. And yet so many Western Christians especially don't believe this. So many Western Christians once again say, I believe the Bible. But the Bible says that you and I are in Christ. Does that mean we accept sin and brokenness and dirt and all those things? Of course we don't accept it. But we don't pretend that God doesn't still see Christ, Jesus, when he looks at us. Because that's the promise of God's word. Do you know, even if you believe what I just said, do you know how many people in your lives don't? Do you know how many people in your lives are even afraid to come in this building? Not just this building, any church building. Any church building. Because they're afraid that all they will hear is judgment, and all they'll hear is performance orientation. Anybody else grow up in a performance-oriented family? I did. You know what the definition of performance orientation is? That you associate performance with love, and so therefore if you don't perform, you won't be loved. I grew up in that kind of family. God has nothing to do with that. God does not expect you to perform for His love. He has already given you every bit of love He will ever give you when newcomers come through the door. We welcome them. Every church in this diocese believes that they are the most welcoming church in the diocese. Just saying. Every single church believes they are the most welcoming church in the diocese. But when people walk in our doors, do they sense in the power of the Holy Spirit God's mercy and love and grace and hope? Because that's what they need. Oh, sure. They need to straighten out their lives, too. But that's not what they need to hear when they walk in the door. They need to hear the kind of hope that God gives so that they will want to, there's nothing they could do except say, you know what, I want to walk with the Lord. I don't want to earn it, can't earn it. At the clergy retreat last week, which happens always before, right before the synod, we were having this discussion about how can we make our congregations even more welcoming than they already are? How can we make them even more hope, mercy, and grace communicating than they already are? How many of you all know what the comfortable words are? Those of you who have been around the church for a while, you know that in the middle of the service most of the time, right after you've confessed your sins, we have what are called comfortable words. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because this is a true saying worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the perfect offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. Those in Anglicanism are known as the comfortable words. I love them. I'm even glad where we place them in the service. How I wish we would say them at the beginning of a service, too. How I wish in the beginning of a service to any newcomers we would say, do you know that God loves you unconditionally? That's what His Word says. Oh, His Word calls us to lots of responsibilities, too. But He calls believers to responsibilities. He calls those who have surrendered their lives to Him as both Savior and Lord to responsibilities. He calls us to ooze with His love, mercy, grace, forgiveness. I believe that the more we get into His Word, the more we find that. It's called the gospel. Gospel is not just what is read in the middle of a service. The gospel is the truth of what I'm saying right now. I believe the more we read it and the more we're getting back to His Word, the more we will become communities that He desires us to be. And people will walk in and say, wow, this is a place I could want to be. This is a place I could want to heal. This is a place I would want to find my Lord. You already do that in many ways. In fact, there's some being confirmed today that are a witness of that. Imagine if we were all doing it. Imagine the lives that could be changed. Lord Jesus, I'm thankful that in your word and in You, we can live and move and have our being. And I ask You, Lord, as we move to lay hands on brothers and sisters who desire a special indwelling, a special overflowing of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that You would come and be with us now, because Your word calls us to call upon You. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.